Hey everybody, welcome to another episode, though it's been a little bit of a hiatus, of Beers with Chad. I am your host, Chad Wesley Smith. Nice to be here today. Hopefully everyone out there is doing well. Today I'm going to be drinking Laces Out Dan, a tribute to one of the finest films of all time, possibly, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Ray Finkel, the infamous, more than famous, kicker of those fictional Miami Dolphins, a.k.a. Lieutenant Einhorn. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective was a movie from when I was a kid. You know, it probably came out in, what, like 1994-ish kind of range, that my older brothers loved, particularly my middle brother Zach. And you know, we had it on VHS, and when 8-year-old CWS got a hold of that and saw Jim Carrey talking out of his ass, quite literally, not figuratively, you know, that's what any 8-year-old gets hooked on. And he's doing the walk when he's sneaking up on people. All great stuff. Loved it. So Laces Out Dan is from Rad Brewing here in Anaheim, California, in Orange County. West Coast IPA, Mosaic Hops, Eldorado Hops, Amarillo, Centennial, 60 IBUs. I don't really know what a lot of that means, but I know I like the way it tastes. Cheers to you fine folks. All right, so what's been going on with me? Why have I been such a lazy pretend podcaster? One, because this isn't my real job, but I would one day like to treat it as if it was one. Two, I don't really have any good excuses, but I'll tell you what's been going on anyways. First up, flag football champions, my little first and second grade 49ers. Last Friday night, we won two games, semifinals and finals, to win our division of the Matt Leinart Flag Football Champion Division here in Costa Mesa, to win the championship for first and second graders. It was awesome. Semifinal game, the boys played probably their best game of the year. The season as a whole started out hot. First game, we look good. Parents are talking dynasty. I'm telling them to pump the brakes. Next game, look good. Then third game was going to be our hardest team. The team that we played had won their two previous games by a combined 76-6, and they beat us 21-6. But it was like, okay, you know, second grade kids, we have first graders, understandable. And then tie, play shitty, loss by 1 point, tie, loss by 1 point. Very, very frustrating. Would I have to stay up at night pondering my existence as a flag football coach on the nights after those games? Yes, yes, I did. Marissa's probably as glad as anyone that the season's over and that she doesn't have to deal with me obsessing over all this stuff. But just in the nick of time for the playoffs, the boys started getting it together with a dominant win in the first round of the playoffs 2 weeks ago. And then I think we won that game maybe like 35-18, then won the semifinal game on Friday, like 35-20. And then in the finals, playing the Bengals, which doesn't mean much to you, but we won 12-7, and the game came down to literally the last play as the Bengals threw a little pass. We miss a flag. We miss a flag. We miss a flag. And our MVP, Ollie, saves the day, a heroic diving flagpole on the 3-yard line as time expired. So we would have ended up losing 13-12 had Ollie missed that flag. But, of course, Ollie didn't miss that flag, because Ollie doesn't miss. So very proud of those guys. So this is my team with my nephew. It was his first year playing playing flag football, and he had a lot of fun. He was one of our most improved guys. So my real nephew, Calvin, and then my fake nephews, or my, you know, nephews by name, my buddy Paul's sons, my buddy Colby's son. So a lot of friends' sons, and then some new friends as well. So 7-year-old boys and a couple 6-year-olds. So kindergarten, or 2 kindergartners and first graders, but a lot of fun. You know, I have a bunch of great memories playing youth sports with my dad coaching us in soccer and baseball and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, hopefully these little guys are taking some good memories away from this, as when I wasn't losing sleep over their inability to remember the plays, I had a lot of fun, and I'm proud of those guys. And even Brock Purdy gave us a special shout out a couple weeks ago when I was up there. He recorded a quick video telling the guys good luck this week, you know, work hard, all that stuff. I think he said we got 2 special shout out videos like this throughout the year. Tua gave the boys one where he said, keep listening to Coach Smith. And I had to tell him after, I was like, I need you to tell them to start listening, because they can't keep listening until they've started. But Brock told them to start listening. So that was good. That might have been what put us over the top. But yeah, a lot of fun with those guys. A lot of my efforts around this flag football as well are all a big, kind of a big ruse, a big scheme to get all these little guys to be 49ers fans. And that started with one of my best friends of 20 years, Paul. Grew up in Texas, born and raised outside Dallas. So he's a diehard Cowboys fan. And he grew up, you know, being 10, 11, 12, 13 years old in the early 90s when the Cowboys were at their glory with the triplets. And I love those teams too. But now with my role with the 49ers doing the consulting stuff and getting to know some staff and players up there, I'm about as diehard 49ers as they can get. And 2 playoffs ago, Paul and I went up to the divisional round, Cowboys at 49ers, and the 49ers won, of course, as they do. And I asked him, I said, who are the boys rooting for? And he said, well, before we left, Cal, his older son, said, you know, Dad, I want the Cowboys, but it's okay if the 49ers win too, because that's Lucas's, one of his friends, one of the other boys on our team. That's Lucas's favorite team, and that's Uncle Chad's favorite team. And in that moment, I knew there's an opening. There's an opening to steal the heart and mind of this young man away from the Dallas Cowboys, a life of misery, and bring him over to the 49ers. And in doing so, you know, really frustrate my best friend, stealing those special moments between him and his son that they maybe could have a lifetime of memories, you know, crying about the Cowboys. So I was like, I'm going to get Cal and his little brother Wes to be 49ers fans. So there's been jerseys, and there's an autograph, a 2 Cal and Wes Go 49ers Christian McCaffrey autograph football that they got. So I'm going to surround them with all these little guys. So like our awards at the end of the year, you know, besides them getting a custom Brock Purdy video to motivate them during the season, our end of year awards, Cal was our quarterback. He got our field general award. That was a Brock Purdy rookie card. Ollie got, you know, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa and Debo and Ayuk and CMC and George Kittle cards. So, you know, doing my best to bring all these little guys over to the forever faithful 49ers fans. And maybe one of the best presents I got at the end of the year party we had the other day was from our practice squad MVP, our MVP's older sister, who's a great flag football player in her own right, my girl Kennedy. She even gave me this special hand-carved, hand-burnt CWS sign. This might turn into a belt buckle or something. I don't know. Maybe a Flavor Flav type of chain medallion. But so flag football has been playing a big role the last couple of weeks. I was also up in Santa Clara for a visit with the 49ers during OTAs. Got to, you know, catch up with my man, Dustin Perry, one of the best, you know, the best, in my opinion, strength and conditioning coach in the NFL. Yeah, I'm always impressed with the way they do things there with the 49ers and how seamless the integration is between strength and conditioning, athletic training, and the football staff, where, you know, 5-10 years ago, there would be very, very rare situations where an athletic trainer and a strength and conditioning coach could kind of speak the same language. The strength coaches were meatheads who just wanted to lift. The athletic trainers were pussies who just wanted to not lift and you know, just do yoga and correctives and whatnot. But now, between Dustin Perry and Dustin Little, their head athletic trainer, you know, they understand both sides of it. Docs who lift and strength coaches who aren't just trying to run guys into the ground, and then them integrating with the football staff to manage fatigue well and integrate, you know, the more special preparatory, special developmental exercises from the football side of things. It's really impressive to see how they do that. And then getting to see some of my favorite players up there as well. Dre Greenlaw, as he's rehabbing his Achilles. The man, Fred Warner, always good to see All-Pro Fred up there. And it's been a lot of fun just to get to know some of those players and be involved with such a special organization. My man, All-Pro Fred, was just on the Ryan Russillo podcast this past week, joining, you know, he's now an alumni of the Ryan Russillo podcast with me. So if you haven't checked that episode out, I was on Russillo podcast maybe 2 weeks ago doing a special life advice, answering lifting questions. So go check that out. It only took me 2 years of not so subtle hints and badgering Ryan Russillo into friendship, because he's, you know, a notorious loner. So he didn't know that he wanted to be friends with me. I knew he wanted to. So I had to force that upon him. But it's worked out pretty well. You know, bald brothers, it is kind of like looking into a mirror of some sort. He probably doesn't think that. He's like, I don't want to look like this fucking guy. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's my favorite podcast, the one I most consistently listen to. So go check that out if you haven't. Listen to mine. Listen to all of them, because they're great and have a lot of good stuff on it. So that's kind of what's been going on with me. Otherwise, we got Mesa Verde member guest this upcoming week, which is, that's going to be a shit show. You know, that'll be my first one. But the club, they pour such strong cocktails, and that's going to be a Wednesday night through Saturday. My liver's already hurting. We've got, you know, IVs set up so we can hopefully survive the weekend. But that's what's been going on with me. When we come back after a short break, I want to talk about that Austin Rivers, NBA players, 30 NBA players could make the NFL kind of quote, and give my opinion on all of that, and some, you know, maybe a little bit more thoughtful analysis than some other folks have been given. So again, drinking Laces Out Dan, a Ray Finkel tribute from Rad Beer Company here in Anaheim, California. This is Beers with Chad. I'm Chad Wesley Smith. Cheers to you fine folks.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, Austin Rivers, son of Doc Rivers, you know, played a good decade in the league, was a super high recruit coming out of high school when he went to Duke. He said that there are currently 30 NBA players who could make NFL rosters and zero NFL players who could make NBA rosters, and unsurprisingly, people got pretty mad about that. J.J. Watt was pissed. James Jones was pissed. A lot of different talking head people talking about this stuff, and some good, some less thoughtful analysis of what it would really look like. So I want to talk about, what would go into it? Why or why not could NFL players cross over to the NBA? Could NBA players cross over to the NFL? What's working for them? What's working against them? Who are some players that stand out in my mind as people who could make this transition effectively? So I want to preface this by saying I'm going to talk about people who I think could realistically do this with the time parameter of the start of the 2025 season. So that would be basically an NBA player going from right now, May 25th, 2024, two games into the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and not by this NFL season that's coming up this fall, but the one after that in the fall of 2025, could they be ready to make an NFL roster at that training camp? So like July, August, 2025. Also NFL players who are right now in OTAs, if today they decide I'm done with football, I'm switching to the NBA, could they make an NBA roster by NBA training camps in fall of 2025? So 15, 16 months these guys would have to get ready to make this crossover. So first up, why NFL players probably can't do this? And that's just the reality of the matter is I do think that Austin Rivers is correct in saying that there are not any NFL players who could, in a timely fashion like I'm talking about, 1 year, 16 month kind of range, get onto an NBA roster realistically. There's a couple reasons why that's probably the case. One, they're too short. Average height in the NBA is 6'7". That's pretty much the tallest players in the NFL. So offensive tackles, yeah, there's a couple guys a little bit taller, like Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle for the Broncos, formerly of the 49ers. He's 6'8". Orlando Brown, 6'8". Amarius Mims for the Bengals, rookie, 6'8". So Joe Alt, rookie tackle from Notre Dame, 6'8". Maybe some 6'6 and 6'7 tight ends. Mercedes Lewis, but dude's been in the league for 18 years, 17 years, or 6'7". Yeah, could we have a 6'6 tight end or D end? 6'6, 6'7 tight end or D end who weighs 250, crossover and play some Zion-esque power forward role? Maybe. You see some pickup clips of guys like Myles Garrett playing pickup or playing in celebrity games. And yeah, he's a good basketball player, a very good basketball player, maybe a great basketball player. But the guys who play in the NBA are the greatest basketball players. If you were watching March Madness a couple months ago, Zach Edey, who was dominating in March Madness, is going to be a mid first round pick, like an NBA role player. There are guys who look great in college basketball every year who are stars in college basketball. Great, great college basketball players who don't make it in the NBA. Even a football bodied type of guy like DJ Burns from North Carolina State, he's probably not going to make it in the NBA despite being a star basketball player. So a lot of them are just too short. So like Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, DK Metcalf, all guys who have impressive looking pickup clips or celebrity game highlights. Myles Garrett's 6'5", 275. So he's an inch shorter than Zion Williamson, who's uncharacteristically short for his position. similar body weight, much more jacked, stronger looking, certainly more explosive, possibly, from a standing vertical standpoint. I would put my money actually on Myles Garrett over Zion, but the skill deficit of not having played basketball at a high level, maybe ever, in the particular case of Myles Garrett, I don't know that he was a good or great high school player. Basketball skill is so much more refined, more detailed, more delicate, if you will, than the skills of football, that this 16-month timeline that we're talking about to be ready for the 2025 season, it's just really unlikely that even the best basketball playing football players would be able to get to kind of the baseline level of skill that they would need. And considering that they're going to be on the short side of things, they're going to need to be in a surplus of skills, ball handling and shooting. And maybe, you know, you could make, if you want to make the argument, oh, they could make the roster just by being great defensive players. Okay. I guess if you want to make that argument, typically the best defensive players in the NBA are long, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", you know, defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, 7'2", 7'3", runner-up, Victor Wembanyama, you know, 8-foot wingspan. The football players, they're just going to be too short, both in height and wingspan, to be these lockdown defensive specialist type of guys. So yeah, probably just too short for the most part. The guys who have maybe a better athletic profile for it, wide receivers and defensive backs to be, you know, guards. If you have a corner, you know, maybe like a guy like Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is a phenomenal athlete. I was doing a little bit of researching specific to Jalen Ramsey as I prepared for this. And let's learn about our man, Jalen Latrell Ramsey, corner for the Dolphins. You know, multi-time, all-pro, one of the best. I've seen some good pickup basketball clips from him, but no high school basketball, though his brother was a very good player. But incredible athlete. Great, great track athlete. 25 feet, 3¼ inches in the long jump in high school. That's the Tennessee state record where he's from. 10.5 in the 100, 21.4 in the 200, 48 second 400, 47.7 triple, 6'8" high jump, 49.11 in the shot put. Even is a pretty damn good number, especially for a corner. Phenomenal athlete. Probably a better chance at going to the decathlon, going to the Olympics for the decathlon than he would playing in the NBA. If the football player was not like a all county, all region, all state level high school basketball player, there's basically no chance that they would be able to, even if they're playing pickup all the time in the offseason right now, that in the next 12 to 16 months, they would be able to close that skill gap. Because also a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who's, what, 6'1"? Let's go with his 6'1¼", 209, with a 41.5-inch vertical. 6'1¼ is going to make him one of the shortest players in the NBA. Jalen Brunson, probably about in that same height range, maybe 6'5" to 6'1". Chris Paul, guys who are so, so skilled ball handlers, shooters, understanding of spacing and timing in basketball. Jalen Ramsey's just not a guy like that. It's not going to be able to close that gap. Justin Jefferson, another guy who athletic profile-wise seems like he could potentially be, you know, a great basketball player. But, you know, 6'2", maybe 6'3", still on the short side. Steph Curry is 6'3". He's a, you know, quote-unquote short NBA player. And there's no argument by a sane, rational person can be made that a guy in the NFL right now in a year and a half could have anywhere near the skill level in basketball that Steph Curry would have. And, you know, just impossible. He's not going to have that shooting touch develop that quickly. It's too refined. It's a skill that takes too much repetition and touch and timing and feel to develop it in a shorter time span. So if you do have a guy who was a great, great high school basketball player, and yeah, they've had, you know, even if they're a rookie in the NFL, let's say they haven't played competitive basketball, competitive organized basketball since high school. So 4 or 5 year gap, maybe even early in the NFL. So they haven't done it for 8 years. Now we're talking about similarly to the idea of like Michael Jordan crossing over to baseball, where hitting a baseball is this very refined skill that you need reps. You need the eyes on and for the timing and feel of that. And Michael Jordan actually did that more successfully than people recall. He had like a 13-game hitting streak to begin his minor league baseball career. But that's the type of thing that we're dealing with, is that deficit is so severe. So even a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, you know, was a great high school basketball player, and he's got certainly the hand size, maybe closer to the wingspan you'd be looking for, you know, but DeAndre Hopkins, let's pull him up here, is 'Davante Adams. So D-Hop, 6'1", 214, huge hands, long arms, 36-inch vertical. He's going to be one of the shortest guys out there. So even though, you know, he might have been a great high school player, is he going to be able to become one of the highest skilled NBA players like a Steph Curry, like a Chris Paul, to be able to overcome that height, the height side of things? Joe Burrow, another one, phenomenal high school basketball player, maybe all state, maybe Mr. Basketball for the state of Ohio, coming out of high school. I know Joe. We did combine prep type of stuff for Joe. I heard about him playing pickup basketball with the other guys. I never saw it, but I know he's really good. Joe Burrow is similarly, you know, sized, height, wingspan to a guy like J.J. Redick. Maybe he's a little bit faster. Maybe he's a little bit more explosive. J.J. Redick actually had a negative wingspan, but think about J.J. Redick's game in the NBA, as skill dependent as it could be, because he didn't have that length and speed and bounce like some of the other guys. And even though Joe might have that a little bit more, you know, maybe like a T.J. McConnell level or a little bit more athletic and physical than that even, those guys are some of the best shooters ever. And, you know, I love Joe, but in the next 16 months, he's probably not going to be able to get to J.J. Redick level shooting ability and to play that role in the NBA, assuming this theoretical crossover NFL to NBA guy isn't going to be a can do whatever you need type of guy. He's going to have to fill this specific role, like stand in the corner and spot up and hit threes on offense. Because if you can't do that, you can't space the floor on offense. You can't really play in the modern NBA. Or is he just going to be this defensive stopper? Very, very few NFL guys are going to have the length for that. So first problem is they're too short. Second problem is they probably don't have enough skill, or they definitely don't have enough skill right now. They wouldn't likely be able to develop it in time, or the skills that they have are too rusty from 4+ years being away from it. And then finally, it's just statistically much harder to make an NBA roster than it is to make an NFL roster. There's 30 teams in the NBA instead of 32 in the NFL. There's, you know, 15 guys on a team instead of 53. So just the height side of things is going to slot you into, for NFL players, you know, if they're 6'4 or less, they're going to be a guard. If they're 6'5 to 6'8, the tallest NFL players, yeah, maybe, you know, some of them could be an undersized power forward type of role, but a lot less opportunities there. So statistically, it's just way, way less likely. Now, why can NBA players probably do this? I don't know that the number is 30 the way that Austin Reeves said it was, but it's not zero, that's for sure. The first reason that NBA players can probably do it is because they've done it before, or high-level basketball players with very little football experience have gone to the NFL with little, you know, zero to small amount of college football experience. And maybe they played in high school and were probably pretty good then, but, you know, had been away from the sport for 3 to 5 years or only come back to play for one or two seasons of limited exposure and then gone on to good to great NFL careers. Of course, the first name that's going to come to mind is Antonio Gates, you know, Hall of Fame level. Can't believe he hasn't gotten in yet, but I'm sure he will. Tight end for the San Diego Chargers, who was a very good college basketball player for Kent State, and this undersized, height-wise, power forward, you know, physical, scored, you know, like 14, 15 points a game. But there was never a time where an NBA team was like, yeah, that Antonio Gates, he might be a NBA player. No, that was never a consideration. So he went with no college football experience, went on to this tremendous career with the Chargers, one of the best receiving tight ends of all time. Jimmy Graham, similar story. I think 1 year of football experience at the University of Miami, long, productive NFL career playing tight end. Julius Thomas, another tight end. Kennesaw State, I want to say, for him. Great, you know, very good college basketball player. Never, you know, a real NBA prospect. Goes on to this great, you know, very good NFL career. Mo Alie-Cox, Rico Gathers. There's a lot of those. There could be more, probably. I'm sure there's ones that I don't know about. There's also guys who have done both, guys who were college basketball players, even at big programs, and they became great NFL players, not great NBA players. Tony Gonzalez, playing for my Cal Golden Bears, down here, Orange County guy, Huntington Beach High School. Good college basketball player, a role player, an undersized power forward, kind of banging it around, being more physical than the just basketball guys. Julius Peppers, even probably a more talented version, Hall of Fame defensive end. Charlie Ward, you know, an interesting example. Charlie Ward, the 1993 Heisman Trophy winner, playing quarterback for Florida State. Played in the NBA for a long time. Didn't play in the NFL. He was a higher draft pick. He was a first-round draft pick for basketball. You know, I think he was slotted as like a third, fourth, fifth-round kind of pick for football, so he wanted to go basketball. Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson's an interesting one because he is so short, and Nate Robinson's just a freak athlete. Nate Robinson started 6 games as a true freshman for the University of Washington, playing corner, and then played basketball and was a freshman All-American, and in high school was the Washington State record holder in the 110 hurdles. Nate Robinson's a freak athlete, the freakiest of freak athletes. And to play in the NBA at 5'9" for a decade like he did is really amazing. Could he have played in the NFL if he wanted? Yes, I certainly think so. While 5'9 is short for a corner, it is not unheard of. It's, you know, damn near unheard of for the NBA, and he still did that. But he went probably where he felt maybe he had more potential, but also where you get paid a lot more. And I'll get into that a bit more in a minute. And then there's guys who have come to play in the NFL from other sports with little to no football experience. Lawrence Okoye is a guy who always personally interested me a lot in this regard. Lawrence Okoye was was first a rugby player for a professional rugby team in England at about 18 years old. Then he decided, he's like, you know what? I've done rugby. I'm done with that. I'm switching to the discus. No experience in the discus. And within 4 years, breaks the British national record in the discus, goes to the 2012 Olympics. And then he's like, discus, check. How about the NFL? Never played American football before. Had played rugby. Lawrence Coy goes to a free agent combine. These numbers are off the top of my head. 6'6", 305 pounds. I'll look these up and corroborate them while I'm saying them to you. Lawrence Okoye goes to a free agent combine. 6'6", 304, 4'7", 840, 36-inch vertical, 10'7", broad jump, 6'6", 9", three-cone drill. A lot of those numbers are remarkable. Someone goes to the combine and they're 6'6", 304 and runs sub 4'8". They're the star of the combine. They have a 36-inch vertical. They're more of the star of the combine. They have an almost 11-foot broad jump at 304 pounds body weight. All-time legend. 6'6", 9", three-cone drill is like the quickest slot wide receivers. And this guy is 6'6", 304. So he goes and ends up on the practice squad with the Niners for a while. Practice squad with the Cardinals, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Dolphins, so kind of bounces around practice squads for like 3-4 seasons. Doesn't, make the NFL, but is on a roster, to a lesser degree. Happening right now, Louis Riezimit from, I don't know why I did that accent, because he's not French. He's from Wales, and, he's signed with a futures deal right now for the Chiefs, this star rugby player from Wales, so they're interested to see how that is. Jordan Mailata, the left tackle for the Eagles, big rugby player, no football experience. Yeah, rugby and football are more similar than basketball and football, but just goes to show these guys haven't played football before, and whether they're being Pro Bowl level players like Jordan Mailata or teams are just taking a chance on them, like Louis and Lawrence Okoye, it's happening. Another guy from close to my heart in the background that I have in track and field is Margus Hunt. Margus Hunt was the first and the only, to my knowledge, guy to win the under 23 European Championship in the shot put and the discus in the same year. He was one of the best junior and U23 discus throwers of all time. He was training at SMU, and Margus Hunt is from Estonia. He's training at SMU and got to the point where, whether it was them dropping their men's track program or just whatever financial reasons came about, he knew he needed to have some more money to be able to, to be able to survive and keep training out there. So they're like, join the football team. Margus Hunt's from Estonia. He had never played American football. He probably didn't really know what American football was that much. But he tries out for at the time was a very bad SMU football team and makes it. And I believe sets the NCAA record for most blocked kicks. Second highest of all time. But he did that in 2 years playing for SMU. Blocks 17 kicks, field goals, extra points, punts, and then goes on to, like a 8-year career in the NFL after posting combine numbers of 6'8 1/4, 277, 4'6", 40, 34.5-inch vertical, 10'1 broad, 38 reps of 225. The 6'8", 277, 4'6", 40 club, it's a very, very, very small club. And when you add 38 reps of 225 on top of it, even smaller club. Very, very limited college football experience. 2 years. Had never played before that. Probably barely even knew what football was before that. And he did it. So there are plenty of stories of guys with limited experience crossing over from basketball backgrounds to success in the NFL. The other direction, those examples just don't exist. Statistically, a lot more chance, as we said, 53 guys on the roster, 32 rosters. more, you know, the diverse size of football, you know, lends itself to this. You know, you could have wide receivers, probably less likely running backs, but, you know, skill wise, a defensive back would be tough. But the examples you see are mostly tight ends, DNs type of bodies, with Gates and Jimmy Graham and Julius Thomas, and, you know, all the guys who have done it really successfully are tight ends, from college basketball to the NFL. But other guys, you know, who the case could be made, this guy could be a wide receiver. You know, I don't think anyone would have, if Michael Jordan said he wanted to try out for, you know, instead of going to baseball in 1990, after the 1993 NBA Finals, if he said, I want to join the Dallas Cowboys who just won the Super Bowl, would they have taken 6'6", 215-pound jump out the gym, you know, reportedly ran in the 4.3 40 range when he was at University of North Carolina, Michael Jordan on those Dallas Cowboys? Yeah, I think they would have found a spot for him, besides, of course, just the publicity that would have came along with it. Because basketball players' unique size is going to be more of a strength, you know, potential strength in football than the too short or on the short side of things football players trying to go over to basketball would be. But that's not to say that there's not things that are working against the NBA players. And when we posted about this on Instagram, of course, they're like, oh, a basketball player is going to give up the second they get hit. LaFlop could never do it. You know, they're too soft, all that. Do they have the toughness, all of them? No, definitely not. I was listening to Charles Barkley talk on Shannon Sharpe's podcast. And he said he was a bad athlete growing up. He said his growth spurt was late. But when he tried to play football in high school, he said he played football for one day. Then he turned his pads back in because he's like, I'm just running into these dudes for 2 hours. Like, this is dumb as hell. And yeah, maybe he wasn't tough enough for it. And he was playing in, you know, the quote unquote toughest era of the NBA in the 80s and 90s, but he wasn't tough enough to play football. Is that the case for some of these guys who I'm going to talk about? Certainly possible. I don't have an effective way to really assess that. But people who are like, oh, LeBron James, he's falling down all the time. And I think a lot of that for basketball players is gamesmanship. They are trying to get calls. It's not that 6'8", 255, 260-pound LeBron James is that physically soft. He's trying to sell it so he can get the calls. I think that that's much more the case. Now, there are definitely basketball players who are too tall, and that this wouldn't be effective for just from a leverage standpoint. You know, I've seen, as this discussion has come up, people talking about like, oh, imagine Shaq at defensive line. Young Shaq, Magic Shaq, 7'1", 285, 315, somewhere in that range. Yeah, he'd be 4 or 5 inches taller than any other like defensive end who had ever been in the NFL. The offensive tackle side of things, if Shaq coming out of LSU had said, I want to play left tackle in the NFL instead of going to make hundreds of millions of dollars in the NBA in my career, could he have done it? Yes, probably. I think his freakish size, athleticism, and length, and a Shaq coming out of college, let's say he's 300 pounds and he fills out to 325, 335, 7'1", 335 with as light on his feet as he was, could he have done it? Definitely. But like, would Giannis at tight end be a potential every down player at you know, almost 6'11", 255 pounds? Or would, you know, he just be getting forklifted out by some of these DNs? I think that there's more argument for some of these guys being too tall. So I do think that that eliminates some basketball players from this possible situation. There's pretty much no evidence, you know, of successful NFL players taller than 6'8". I don't think that that means that there couldn't be, you know, a 6'9" or maybe 6'10" guy come over from the NBA or from college basketball and end up being a successful player in the NFL. There were no successful 6'5" or 6'6" 100-meter sprinters before Usain Bolt became the greatest one of all time. And then people realized, like, oh, actually being that tall was his advantage, not a disadvantage. Not sure it would work exactly like that for basketball players going trying to go into the NFL, but I think that there is an argument that can be made. But some guys are going to be too tall. So I think outside of some really unique 6'9", 6'10 guys, it would be tough for that to happen. And then something about NBA players that I'm sure everyone is like, oh, they're going to be great on the jump ball. Basketball players can't jump as high as you would think. I wrote an article a long time ago, like 10 years ago now, called The Vertical Jump Formula. And it was talking about the role of strength in vertical jump and standing vertical specifically. And in that year, 2014, the average vertical for the NBA combine, all positions, was 29 inches. And the average standing vertical for defensive linemen that year was like 36 inches at the NFL combine. Standing vertical, because it is largely a product of relative lower body strength, football players are better at. They're often much more explosive going from 0 to 60, where basketball players are typically a bit more reactive and elastic, so they get more with the approach. And even, you know, kind of working this the other way, a football player like Randy Moss, who people think of as this incredible jump ball guy, and he's mossing, you actually only had like a 32-inch vertical at the combine. Maybe that was bad training, a bad day, who knows. Great at jump balls, but just the pure length of basketball players, height and arm length, is going to negate a little bit the need for them to actually be able to jump that high. But is their lower standing vertical just an indication of relatively lower body strength, less initial explosiveness, which is going to impact them in a lot of ways? Yeah, I think that that's a fair argument. But a lot of this comes down to athleticism is so often thought of in these simple terms of how fast can you run, how high can you jump, how quick can you run around these cones. And football players are very, very good at that, much better than basketball players, because it's more a part of the talent evaluation process for them. And strength training in the off-season part of things is much more significant for football. Basketball players, though, have a lot of the harder to measure aspects of athleticism over football players, typically, generally. And I'm saying this as someone who likes football a lot more than I like basketball. But coordination, rhythm, fluidity of movement, basketball players have that over football players, and that's why a lot of the NFL guys wouldn't be able to cross over. They're just like too stiff and don't have the general coordination for it. And there are guys, yeah, you could, like OBJ, a young pre-injury OBJ, phenomenal athlete. Could he have played in the NBA? Does he have that type of fluidity and athleticism? Yes, he has that type of fluidity and athleticism, but he's like 5'11". So he's going to have to be the most skilled, you know, one of the most skilled guys ever to make it happen, because, you know, like 2% of NBA players all time are that height. Would he join that club? Maybe, but, you know, it's not as cut and dry, I think, as people would think. So who are some NBA players, current NBA players, who I think could, if they decided to make a roster by the start of 2025 NFL season, who could do that? First one that comes to mind, Anthony Edwards, 6'4", 6'5", 225. Super explosive. You can see that when he, you know, posterizes any and everyone. Seems like a tough guy, physical, strong. I think for the purposes of this exercise, it's fair to say if an NBA player wants to cross over to the NFL and they've got 15, 16 months to do it, them gaining 10 to 15 pounds in that time is probably realistic, in the same way that if an NFL player crossing over would probably need to lose 15 to 20 pounds, that's also probably realistic. So would we see a 6'4", 245-pound Anthony Edwards as this receiving tight end terrorizing the NFL? Yeah, I think that that's a realistic thing. could he still, you know, like Travis Kelce is a tight end by name, but he's really a wide receiver. Like that's the kind of role that Anthony Edwards would have. Is he putting his hand in the dirt and blocking guys like George Kittle does, you know, at tight end? No, almost definitely not. But running routes, being athletic, getting jump balls, sure. Aaron Gordon, another one, a little bit on the older side, so this might make him a little bit less realistic, but Aaron Gordon is about 6'8", 245. So let's give him 10, 15 more pounds after this year and a half of training for football. So now we've got 6'8", 260 Aaron Gordon. I don't know what Aaron Gordon's vertical is, but considering he's like the greatest slam dunker of, you know, the slam dunk contest history, he can, he's definitely explosive enough. He's strong. He's physical. Seems like a tough guy. Fun fact, Aaron Gordon's brother, Drew Gordon, was maybe a year older than me, a year younger than me, rather. Discus thrower from same high school as Aaron Gordon, Archbishop Mitty, and a McDonald's All-American level basketball player, like a 190-foot discus thrower as a junior in high school. But yeah, Aaron Gordon, tight end, D end, maybe, you know, the defensive positions. I think there's going to be a bigger learning curve technique wise for them to learn how to hand fight and do all that kind of stuff. If it was just a pass rush specialist kind of situation, you know, are they going to be able to knock, you know, get in passing lanes with 7 foot plus wingspans? Yeah, that's going to be effective, but tight end's probably going to be the role for a lot of them. So Aaron Gordon, another tight end, maybe a DN kind of guy. Zion Williamson. Now Zion is an interesting one because Zion is the size of football players. Zion Williamson is the size of like JJ Watt. 6'6", question mark, 290, 300, 305, sometimes 275, maybe on rare occasions. Zion Williamson, if you've seen him dunk a basketball, is plenty explosive. Has the body for it. Does he have the toughness for it physically? I don't know. The point that Chris Long brought up on his Green Lights pod that was great about this was, would basketball players be able to deal with just the grind of NFL life, not being pampered and catered to in the same way that NBA players are, and getting coached hard and, you know, MF'd up and down by their coaches. That would be a much bigger adjustment, certainly from someone coming actually from the NBA to the NFL. You know, it's one thing for Antonio Gates, you know, to go from Kent State basketball over to the NFL. He had never been living the pampered NBA life. But for Zion Williamson, a guy whose work ethic in the NBA has oftentimes come into question, I think that that is a fair question to ask. Would he have the mental toughness for that side of things on the NFL? I don't know, but the physical side of things, yes, he would be capable of doing it, whether that was at tight end or at defensive end, or, you know, if he really changes his personality and is like, yeah, I'm going to play, you know, Zion, I'm Zion Williamson, and I'm going to be the next Chris Jones or the next, you know, Trent Williams and play D tackle or offensive tackle. Does he have the athleticism, coordination, speed, and power to do that? Yes, he definitely does. Would he want to? Almost definitely not. Because this is the other point that I haven't brought up yet. Basketball players make way more money and are way more famous and get injured way less than football players. So if there was realistically someone who's like, I could go to the NBA or the NFL, which would they do? Almost definitely they would go to the NBA. Could you make the argument, though, they just love, this guy just loves football more, so he's going to go play football? Sure. But there are like sixth and seventh men in the NBA making more than $10 million a year, which is, you know, depending on what position you play in the NFL, like you're a Pro Bowl level guy to be making that much. And the NBA contracts are guaranteed and the NFL ones aren't. The NBA career, you know, isn't leaving you crippled after. So if NFL guys could do this in the way that some of them seem to be arguing that they think they could, why aren't they? To make more money and not get hurt as much and be more famous. most of those guys really like those things, making money and being famous and not getting injured. So they'd probably take advantage of that. Zion, I'd be surprised if he wanted to make this crossover, but again, dealing with a lot of hypotheticals here. Lou Dort for the Oklahoma City Thunder seems like a guy who, you know, could play maybe bulk up from like 6'3", 215, 220 up to 230, 235 range, which is 6'3", 235 is the size of my favorite linebacker, the NFL's best linebacker, All-Pro Fred Warner, is 6'3", 235. Lou Dort right now is 6'3", 220, and he has a lot higher cardio demand than Fred Warner. So could Lou Dort, 18 months from now, 16 months from now, be 235? Sure. Seems like a tough dude. Actually playing and making NFL linebacker reads? No, almost definitely not. That's why these guys would play offense. But physically, yes, he could do that. He could also be a 6'3", 235-pound slot-ish big, you know, big wide receiver, tight end type of guy. He's not going to put his hand on the ground and block a bunch of people, but Lou Dort's the kind of guy who you could see doing it. Bam Adebayo, another one, 6'9", 250 right now, you know, maybe a year and change from now. He's 6'9", 265, playing tight end or D end. Big, strong, fast guy. Bam Adebayo's Nigerian. There's a lot of good Nigerian football players too. Like Bam Adebayo could probably do it if he wanted to. Those guys aren't going to do it again because they're making way, way more money. So why would they? But there's example after example, and we could keep going with this, and you could go down the entire list of NBA players and start finding guys like, yeah, I could see that happening. I could see that happening. Where on the NFL, the NBA side, it's just really, really unrealistic. You know, if Joe Burrow decided to give up his $55 million a year NFL contract today and be like, I'm going to be the next J.J. Redick, could he close that skill gap in the next 18 months? Probably not, but maybe. But much, much longer shot than if Anthony Edwards was like, hey, Minnesota Vikings, I want to be on the team in the fall. They'd probably give him a roster spot, and that's what it is. So I don't know if there's 30, but there's quite a few of them that it could realistically happen. And as we look at it historically, because I'm only talking about guys who could actually do it right now. Say what you want about LeBron James. He's soft, you know, he flops, he whines, whatever. He was an All-State football player in high school. He's one of the biggest, strongest, most athletic people of all time. If LeBron, coming out of high school or after 2, 3, 4 years in the NBA, was like, all right, I'm going to play in the NFL, or when there was an NBA like lockout and there was some talk of him wanting to play for the Cowboys, 6'8", 260-pound, 40-inch vertical, extremely coordinated, fluid LeBron James, yes, would have made an NFL roster. Would he have gotten hit going across the middle and given up? Maybe. I'm sure he's tougher than you think he is, because a lot of the flopping is gamesmanship. And, you know, there was a comment on my Instagram about this, like, you know, prime LeBron would have got chopped in half by Ray Lewis kind of thing and given up from one hit across the middle. Yes, Ray Lewis is tougher than LeBron James. Ray Lewis was playing football at about 6'1", 235, 240. Very early 2000s, like the 2000 Ravens, he was closer to 250. End of his career, he was less than 230. LeBron James, 6'8", 260. If he played football instead of basketball, he'd probably be 270. A 6'8", 270 tight end with the movement skills of LeBron James, Ray Lewis would hit him hard, not going to break him in half. You know, Russell Westbrook is a guy who seems like he could have been a great football player as well. You know, there are plenty of them out there. Jalen Suggs, I guess, was a great high school quarterback. You know, playing quarterback in the NFL is a whole different thing that goes well beyond your physical abilities and much more about the mental abilities. So totally unrealistic that someone who's been away from it would be able to come back and cross over. But could he play wide receiver? Could he play safety? Maybe, you know, not out of the question. So that's my probably more than 2 cents about that topic. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Argue with me. I'll tell you why I'm still right and you're wrong. And yeah, this was Beers with Chad. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon. Cheers.